to the people to take each tribe to take their portion. Caleb is the head, the representative of the tribe of Judah, and he comes and says, Joshua, remember what Moses said to us 45 years ago? I'm 85 now, and I want that mountain. We don't have that song in our songbook anymore. We used to love to sing that song. Maybe if we, is that going to be in our chorus book? We better put it there. I think so. But anyway, I just thought of something before I forget any longer. Anniversary Sunday in Cowboy, they had 488. Is that right? Because I heard, I know it's fours and eights. Somebody said 448, 488 in attendance this morning, and four people saved. They had a great time in the Lord. The Lord blessed. And so let's praise the Lord for that. So back to Caleb now. Pastor Dameron can tell us more about that when he comes back. But we did pray for that, and it is tremendous answer to prayer. Caleb stood for the Lord as what we might call a middle-aged man, and even at the age of 85, he was still strong for the Lord. Let's go ahead and read the passage in Numbers where it's not the first time we see him, but it's kind of the first time. It may be. Yeah, it is the first time that we see Caleb. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Now, in Numbers, we have, in Deuteronomy, we have a kind of a commentary on what happened in Numbers. And in Deuteronomy, we're told that the people, they had gotten to the point where it was time to enter the land of Canaan. God had delivered the people from Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, gave them manna, gave them water, gave them his law and everything that he needed, turned them from a slave people into a nation distinct unto themselves with laws and rulers. And it was time for them to enter the land, and they'd gotten to Kadesh Barnea, and they were ready to go into the land. But the people of Israel came to Moses and said, let's send some spies in there and see what it's like. That's what we're told in Deuteronomy. And so that's not told to us in Numbers 13, but that is what happened. Moses tells us that that's what happened. The people doubted that God had already destroyed Egypt. He had already fed them food, given them water. He'd provided everything they needed. But for some reason, as they went to enter the land, they doubted God. So the Lord said to Moses, chapter 13, verse 1, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. So we see that the 12 spies were not just lowlifes. They were leaders. They might have been a head of 1,000 or a head of 50. They're different than the chief of the tribe that are mentioned in Numbers chapter 1. But they were leaders, heads in Israel. And these were their names. Now you're going to notice, you're going to recognize many of these names. Are you smiling? You should be smiling. You're not going to recognize very many at all. Why? Because they doubted God. We know the story, and we don't recognize any of their names hardly. These were their names. Of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zakur. Of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori. Of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph. Of the tribe of Ephraim, Hoshea, the son of Nun. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Pelti, the son of Raphu. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sadi. Of the tribe of Joseph, namely of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi. Of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Gamali. Of the tribe of Asher, Sethur, the son of Michael. of the tribe of Naphtali, Nabi, the son of Vophsi. You know, you wouldn't be laughing if we knew all these names. If these men had stood for the Lord and we were naming our children after them, they would be very familiar, right? The point is, I think just the humor in their names proves the point for us. Of the tribe of Gad, Geul, the son of Machi. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now, they went from the wilderness of Zin, which is down south of Israel, a wilderness land, all the way through the whole coast of Israel, all the way up. Rehob is parallel with Sidon, which is way up. They covered the whole land, up one side, probably up the Jordan River Valley, and then down through the middle of the land. They saw all of the land. And as they came back, they came to Hebron, where the sons of Anak were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now verse 23. And they came to the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Now notice that. They all say, Surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, nothing there is new information. God had told them all of that already. He told them he was going to bring them to a land that flowed with milk and honey. He told them that he was going to defeat all the seven nations that were there. So they went in there and found that, lo and behold, it was just like God had told them that would be. If it was just like God had told them that would be, wouldn't it be normal to assume that what the other thing that God had told them he would do would be true? That he would have put his fear into the hearts of these people and that he would give these people into their hand? Of course it's true. But that's not what happened. And Caleb stilled, verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel. Now these men, these 10, are wicked, wicked men. They said, It's a wonderful land. Caleb says, Let's go take the land. And what do? They change their report. They've already said, This is a wonderful land. But now they say, It's an evil land. They brought up an evil report and said, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. You know, it's so bad. You try to live there and you're just going to die. In less than an hour, these people had said, it's a wonderful land, and now they're lying straight through their teeth. It's an evil land. If we go there, we're going to die. It's worse than the wilderness that we're in. At least in the wilderness, we have manna. I'm putting words in their mouth, but they're lying straight right through their teeth. It's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. Of course, it's not eating up the giants that are in the land. Isn't it? I mean, when people are lying, they don't... Anyway. It's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. All of them, every single one, is a man of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I don't know how they knew that. Did they go up to them and say, am I as small as a grasshopper? You know, they're embellishing all over. Of course, in their own sight, they did feel like grasshoppers. And all the congregation, chapter 14, lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God we had died in the land of Egypt. Or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and he's not saying, I wonder if the Lord will delight in us. He's saying, the Lord delights in us, since the Lord delights in us. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Isn't that a different... In one case, I'm a grasshopper, and I look like a grasshopper to them. And another person looks at the same information and says, they're bread. Anybody afraid of a loaf of bread? You know, you get up to eat your toast and you're afraid of it. It's going to attack you. You can't handle it. Can't handle a piece of bread. We can handle a piece of bread. They're bread for us. They're a piece of cake. I lost my place. Having too much fun. If the Lord delight us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation, all the congregation, bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be before they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of the cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children under the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit in him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20-year-old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days. Each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And this is an interesting verse. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men which went to search the land, lived still. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now this is a long reading, and I tried to read it in a way that would express what was happening in there. But this is a baffling, mind-boggling event. And it's just amazing what happened in this place with a people that saw the hand of God and all the things that he had done in 1 year's time. 1 year, from basically 1 year and 1 month, I believe, from the time that they crossed, left Egypt, crossed the Red Sea to this time, they decided they didn't want to cross into the land that God had for them. But Caleb and Joshua are men who stand for God in this place. Caleb, of course, if he's 40 years old right at this point, he was born into slavery. Caleb's name means, some people think it means dog, but looking at the other parts of it, we pretty much think that it means raging with canine madness. Somebody said you could say that Caleb was a junkyard dog. He was, and to me, it's just, I'm not going to do the whole night about it, but that's a stark contrast from Joshua. Joshua was a brave man, but over and over again, Joshua is told, fear not, be of good courage. Caleb is hardly ever told that. He's like, he's rough, and he is mean. And his father was known as a hunter. It's hard to figure out, and I can't say that I have it figured out, but Jephunneh was a Kenizzite or something like that. And there's Kenaz is in the genealogies all over the place. But I think Kenaz also means a hunter. And so Caleb was a junkyard dog, the son of a hunter. He was a rough, tough man. And if the guards are listening to this, there's about six or eight guys that are just walking down the drive on the west side of the auditorium. So I think they're pointing at me. So, so if you're listening on sermon audio next week, you'll probably get a laugh out of that. Caleb was born into slavery. And I don't know, maybe it was good that he was born to a family of hunters, since they had to, by the time he was born, they had to hunt around just to find their straw and these things, just to be able to make their bricks. But he was born into slavery. At about the age of 39, Moses and Aaron came to the elders of the people of Israel and said, "This month is the beginning of months for us. And on the 10th day of this month, on the 14th day of this month," and told them about the Passover, what would happen, how that God would pass through the land, and everything that they had to do. So Caleb was, I'm assuming, he was a leader of the people, and Moses went to the elders and explained to them what would happen, what took place, what they needed to do, how they needed to select a lamb, how to observe it, kill it, brush its blood over the doorpost of the house with hyssop, and stay inside the house as the death angel passed through the land of Egypt. And Caleb was part of that. And he left Egypt with Israel. After a year of going through the wilderness, he's part of the spies that entered Canaan. And he, with Joshua, brings a favorable report back. And as we saw in the story, his life is miraculously saved. The people of Israel are getting ready to stone him, and they're stopped when the cloud of the Shekinah glory falls and comes down into the tabernacle area. And so everybody stops to look to see. And so his life is saved miraculously, he and Joshua. He, with Joshua, are the only ones that were alive, or that were 20 years old or over, and were allowed to enter the land of Canaan. And that is mentioned several times through the rest of the books of the law. They're the only ones. Right before, toward the end of the book of Numbers, the new leadership of the children of Israel, it's interesting, Exodus covers a couple weeks, maybe a month of the history of Israel. Leviticus covers about that much time. Numbers covers 38 years. And so the beginning of Numbers, you have them coming to the border of the land, and at the end of Numbers, Moses is preparing them, the ones that the children that have now grown to enter the land. And Caleb is named as the leader of the tribe of Judah. Of course, he's the oldest there, quite a bit older than all the rest there, and obviously then the leader of his tribe. And so he's assigned in Numbers to be the one that would help in dividing the land once they had conquered it. Moses dies, and the people, as we have learned and heard the stories, cross over the Jordan River on dry ground. They conquer the city of Jericho. They conquer Ai. They conquer the Gibeonites. And they conquer all the key cities, 31 cities, 31 kings in the land of Canaan. And that takes several years, at least 5 years. And at the end of that time, we see Caleb again, specifically in Joshua chapter 14. And let's go there in verse 6. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. In the first five verses of chapter 14, begins to tell us about that it was time for them to divide the land by lot unto the children, to the tribes of Israel. And in verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And who's the leader of the children of Judah when it comes time to dividing the lots? Caleb is. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto me, said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old Was I, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land? And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. That sounds like a junkyard dog, doesn't it? As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. And so when the Joshua was distributing the land, Caleb comes as the representative of Judah, says, I want that land. Give me that mountain that I walked on with my own feet. And the giants were there then, and they're probably still there. It's interesting that Hebron, the king of Hebron, joined with the king of Jerusalem to come against Joshua and the children of Israel in a league against Gibeon. So the king had been killed, but that was probably 5 years before, and they hadn't occupied the land, and so the Canaanites came back and dwelled in Hebron. And so he still had to go there and take Hebron, and he did. Chapter 15 tells us that he took the land of Hebron. In verse 13 of chapter 15, and unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And so, we see, in this time when the land was being possessed by the people of Israel, Caleb takes the land of Hebron, the mountain of Hebron, and then encourages his younger brother to take the city of Debir, which also had been taken once already, if we look in Joshua chapter 11. But this that we saw in Joshua chapter 15 is recounted for us sort of in Judges. I want to go there, Judges chapter 1. In Judges chapter 1, verse 9, the story is told of how the tribes possessed the land, and it starts by just saying the children of Judah. So it's kind of a commentary, a retelling of what we saw in Joshua. And chapter 9 says that chapter 1, verse 9, afterward the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites that dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. And so we know that was Caleb. That was told to us before. And from thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir before was Kirjath Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife. And Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And he gave him Aksah his daughter to wife. I just want to point out one thing. Othniel doesn't disappear from the scene. Joshua dies. We're in the book of Judges. Joshua died, and the people that knew and lived with Joshua died. And what do we know happened? The people of Israel departed from the Lord. And God sent other kings to judge the people. The very first instance of that is, wow, a guy's name from Mesopotamia. Chapter 3, what's his? Cushan-Rishathaim. He comes and takes control of portions of the land of Israel. And Israel turns to God, and God brings them a leader. And who does he choose to give them as a leader but Caleb's younger brother, Othniel? So Othniel leads Israel as the first judge that we see. And so Caleb's influence continues to be seen in the life of Othniel. Now that's just a little bit of a kind of a chronology of the life of Caleb. And I would like now just to look at a few things. Just observations. Maybe some other things came to your mind as we were thinking through it, or as you think about it through the week, some other things will come to mind. But I have a few things just to, some is encouragement, some are challenges to us from the life of Caleb. First, sometimes you're called to do things that don't need to be done. I don't know why, but the 12 spies did not need to go into the land of Canaan. They didn't need to go in there. It was unnecessary. God had already promised the people the land, and the people were doubting God and asked to send spies. But regardless, we serve God. God decided to send the spies in there. And so Caleb was one of the men. He served God wholeheartedly, and so he did what he was asked to do, even with, I would imagine, since he... The words that came out of his mouth when he came out of the land would have come out of his mouth before he even went into the land. He's going through the land saying, wow, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. You know, why do we have to do this? We know the Lord's going to, we don't know how, but the Lord's going to give us this land. But, so, sometimes we're asked to do things, sometimes God has us do things, and we don't know why. But just because we don't understand why, just because we don't understand the purpose for it, we should still serve God wholly, wholeheartedly, in whatever place he puts us. Wherever he puts us, serve him. Another thing that I'd like to point out is that the facts are always the same. The facts are always the same. It matters how you look at them. I make this point when I'm teaching in education class in college. There's no such thing as one of the things we say is there's no such thing as raw facts. That the you know, it's either you believe in facts or you believe in faith. You know, there's only interpreted facts. Okay, the land of Canaan was the same. I mean, the bad spies looked and saw exactly the same land as the good spies. It just matters on how you look at things. I'm not trying to teach them. A lifestyle of just think positive about things, but it does matter how it's. Are you trusting the Lord when you look at things? Are you looking at yourself, or are you looking at God? The evil spies said, "We looked like we were grasshoppers. We felt like we were grasshoppers, and they thought we were grasshoppers, and they looked at the land through their eyes." Joshua and Caleb looked at the land through God's eyes. He said, God is able to give us this land. God will give us these people. So the facts are always the same. It just matters whether we're looking at them through eyes of faith or through eyes of flesh. Are you looking at yourself or are you looking at God? Another thing that can encourage us or challenge us is that those that do not trust the Lord hate and despise those that do. Those that do not trust the Lord hate and despise those that do. I mean, here's the thing. If we think about it, they come out of the land and they say, this is a wonderful land. Let's go into the land. And 10 of them said, I'm too scared. I don't think we can handle it. Let's not go into the land. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, God is going to give us the land. And they get so mad over somebody saying, God has given us the land, that they pick up stones, they're going to stone them. Now, they didn't pick up, I mean, if they're going to stone somebody, it's not, you know, it's not a baseball-sized stone. These are big, they're coming after them. They're going to kill them. They hate them. Those that do not trust the Lord hate and despise those that do. They would like to see them dead. They want them out of the picture. Then, something that should encourage us is that the Lord is always with His faithful men. The Lord is always with His faithful men. Now, in this instance, much like the instance of the three Hebrew children, God delivered them from evil. But regardless, we know, just like the three Hebrew children said, whether we live or die, God is with us. Whether He chooses to protect us, rescue us, or let us die, we're with Him and He is with us. God is always with His faithful men, whether He delivers them or not. In this case, He did deliver them. Here's some encouragement for you, hopefully. The tangible rewards of God may take a long time to receive. God promised Caleb that he would possess the land that his feet walked on. How long till he actually got what God promised him? 45 years. 45 years. And 40 of those must have been miserable. Now, he wholeheartedly served the Lord, so I think he had the right attitude toward it. But could you imagine? I mean, that was a sentence in itself. If we look at it with human eyes, Caleb, you have to live with these losers for 40 years. You have to listen to them murmur and complain against God until I finally kill them all off. But, so, the blessings of God, the tangible rewards of God, might take a long time to receive. Doesn't mean they won't come. Another thing that I observe, it takes patience to live for the Lord. It takes patience to live for the Lord. And patience is not just doing nothing while you wait for God. Patience is living for God day after day after day after day after day after day, regardless of what happens. It takes patience to live for God. This is related to that the last thing. I mean, Caleb lived for God, and he lived for God for a year, and then he had to live for God for another 38 years. And beyond that, of course. But there wasn't much reward that we would see. I'm sure he had the peace of God and all of those things, but there wasn't much there. He just had to keep going, keep living for God. He had to train the young ones, the 20 and unders, through that 38 years so they would be ready to enter the land. He had to just keep going, keep going, and keep going. It takes patience to live for the Lord. Another thing I notice, or I think we can draw from this, is that faithful men keep their priorities in order. Faithful men keep their priorities in order. Now, who had waited the longest to get into the land of Canaan? Moses, but he wasn't allowed in. So then you got Joshua and Caleb. You could think, all right, it's time to go in. Caleb's thinking, ah, man, now I get my mountain. Now I get my land, right? Let's cross Jordan. Let's head down there and get my land. I've been waiting a long time for this. But that wasn't what was in God's plan. The land of Canaan had other ideas, different priorities. It wasn't most important that Caleb get his mountain. It was most important that Jericho be destroyed and that those 31 kings of key cities be destroyed. So then the people could infiltrate the smaller towns and cities and take them over. So God's people needed Canaan before Caleb needed Hebron. And faithful men keep their priorities in the proper order. Along the same line, even when the Lord blesses, He does so in His own timing. And so be faithful. Don't get discouraged. When the Lord blesses, he does so in his own time. 5 years of conquering Canaan and still Hebron was not his. And even when it was his, he still had to conquer it. He still had to battle for it and fight for it again, reconquer it. I think this is a very important point, and that is that Caleb had this strength in his age, as we might say. Remember, he's 85 years old, and he says, I'm as strong today as I was in the day when I went into the land 45 years ago. He had this strength in his age because his heart was strong. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And let me say this, is not something that I thought of after I'd made this list, but the point of this sermon is not for me to encourage all of us young people to wait until we're 85 to be strong for the Lord. No one will be strong for the Lord if they're not strong for the Lord right now. You won't be strong for the Lord tomorrow or the next year or next year or next year or 10 years from now or 30 years from now if you're not strong for God right now. If you're not serving God wholeheartedly, you won't be strong for Him in age. Caleb had this strength in his age because his heart was strong. He followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He had a different spirit in him, the scripture said. Old age is no excuse for giving up in the battles. Old age is no excuse for giving up in the battles. There are many you will still need to fight, even when the youth are fighting the noticeable ones. Now, I am kind of in the middle, I guess. Just a little past when Caleb spied out the land. And I'm not saying that I've got the wisdom or knowledge of age. But the Bible teaches us this. You that are older, you have battles to fight. You have battles that we need, that all of us need you to fight. They might not be there's different kinds of battles. There's different battlefields in our lives. And everybody has to fight the battles that come to them, and we all have them, regardless of our age. Whether they're young, whether we're young or in the middle or old, we have battles to fight, and everyone must fight them. You need to be strong for that. There's no excuse for giving up fighting. We must fight because we're in a battle. But there's no reason to be concerned about fighting when you're on the Lord's side. He gives the victory at 85 just like he would have given the victory at 40. Something else that should be an encouragement to us. Your strong right influence, the strong right influence you have and use, can bless God's people even when you're gone. Caleb died. But his influence, he challenged Othniel to take that city and be a leader himself. And Othniel went, and he must have learned. Because then the time came for the whole nation to be delivered, and God chose Othniel. God used the man that Caleb influenced to deliver his people. And your influence, your strong right influence, can bless people even when you are gone. And so the conclusion is, live every day for God. Live every day for God with all your heart. He lived wholeheartedly for the Lord. Live every day for God with all of your heart. And God can use your life now, and He can use it even when you're gone. Caleb is a tremendous encouragement and challenge to us. We think of him primarily as an older man because of that great statement. I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago. I'm 85 years old. It is a tremendous challenge and encouragement to us. But Caleb was strong at 85 because he was strong at 40, and because, for that matter, he was strong at 20. You can't live for God. You can't just live for yourself all your life and then say, well, when I'm old, I'll live for God. When you're old, you won't have the strength to live for anything if you've been living for yourself all your life. And so while what we see in the scripture, we see a 40-year-old man and an 85-year-old man standing strong for the Lord, his example is a challenge to all of us, whether we're 40, 85, or 30, or 25, or 15. We must stand for the Lord. And the way we do that is we have a different spirit in us. Not our own spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. And we live wholeheartedly for the Lord. Give your whole heart to God every day in every position He puts you in. Whether you're working construction, you're working that construction to the glory of God. Whether you're going to school, you're studying, taking quizzes, listening to teachers for the glory of God. Whether you're driving a truck or selling insurance or working at the steel mill or whatever it is that we do, we live every day wholeheartedly for the Lord, we'll be the strong man, the strong person that God wants us to be, and we'll talk about leaving a legacy. Somebody mentioned that this morning. We'll leave a legacy that our lives God will use to influence generations beyond us. And that's not why we live. We live to give glory to God. But when we do that, God uses us and blesses us in ways that we would never understand or even expect. Let Caleb's life challenge you to live for Him, to live for God with your whole heart every day of your life. Let it encourage you. You've been working for God. You're tired. Keep working for God. Keep living for God. Now's not the time to stop. Just keep living for God. Maybe you're 35 years into waiting. You'll enter the land in a mere 3 more. And then it'll take another 5 before you get what God promised you. Don't be discouraged. Keep living for God. Serve Him with your whole heart every day of your life. Let's pray.